Join your host, Alistair Rayner, as he shares information on the latest research on livestock production, tips on how to boost your profitability, advice on how to secure the health of your herd, interviews with industry leaders, and moments of inspiration. Alistair will take you from the paddock to the research lab and give you ways to improve your operation. From moments on the farm, education, some delicious recipes, and a bit of fun. We hope you enjoy.
G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Reckons. This week, I thought it'd be a great chance to talk about steak. Now, if you're a beef producer, there's a pretty good chance you've had friends outside of agriculture asking you what steak would be best for certain occasions. I know I get that question a lot. So how confident are you in answering those questions? More to the point, how well do you know your steak? You would think beef producers would be the best people to ask about steak. After all, we're in the business of growing beef and supplying this food to the world. But sadly, I have to say, I'm not convinced we do. I go to a lot of field days, bull sales, agricultural shows and other events. And you can bet there's always going to be a barbecue somewhere with steak sandwiches on the menu. Let's face it, a steak sandwich can be pretty hard to resist. Maybe it's the smell of steak on a hot plate, the scent of grilled onions in the air, and if you've had a big morning, then that's the food that you really want to have when you're pretty hungry. So is there anything more disappointing than to get your sandwich and the steak's tough or overcooked or prepared in a way that just makes it almost impossible to eat? Maybe I'm just a bit fussy, but I do know that having a disappointing steak sandwich is a massive frustration to me. And that's not just because I was looking forward to having a great sandwich. I think in a large way, my disappointment is due to the fact that I know how hard producers work to get that food produced and ready to eat. After all that work and effort, the last thing that should be happening is someone going away disappointed with their steak. The real threat is that next time, those people might not ask for steak. They might choose to have the sausage sandwich, or they might ask for a chicken kebab. Who knows? But they might be coming back for steak, and that's a big concern. I know it doesn't sound much. It really is. Our consumers have to be on side for us. If you asked a committee, depending on sales at a barbecue, if people are not buying their products because the steak is tough or it's fatty or for some other reason, what happens to the profits? They drop dramatically. And I guess that's the micro level. At a higher level, at an industry level, having consumers choosing a different protein is a real issue, and that's where the industry will start to struggle. I guess my other frustration is that a disappointing experience with food will sometimes taint people's perceptions of an entire event. I know when I've been organising field days and seminars, no matter how good the day is, how well the information is presented, how engaging the speakers are, if the food isn't right, people remember that more than the lessons they've had from the day. And even worse, if you attend a bull sale and have a terrible steak, you'll remember that as much as you will the sale. More of a concern is if your clients start to associate a tough steak with your cattle. And people do that, you know. So you don't really want to take the risk. At a bull sale or a cattle event, you need to think about the steak or the beef that you're providing. And the thing is, there's really no excuse for this to happen anymore. The Australian beef industry is incredibly fortunate to have the Meat Standards Australia program, MSA, which underpins our beef. In case you've forgotten, MSA was developed because the industry could see consumers eating less beef. They were walking away from beef because of disappointing eating experiences. The industry collectively spent millions of dollars developing and promoting MSA, which has seen the consumer looking towards beef as their number one protein choice. Now, I could talk a lot about MSA, the way cattle should be prepared, the way carcasses are graded, and the methods used to develop MSA scores. Instead, I want to pull out a few key things and take it back to us as producers of red meat and apply those points to our role as advisors to those people outside of agriculture looking to choose steak for an occasion. First thing to remember is that Australian consumers have a very specific set of requirements in the beef they eat. The research underpinning MSA shows that for Australians, the most important things are tenderness, juiciness, and then flavour. Tenderness is the most important factor for our consumers. The MSA research has been underpinned by well over 100,000 taste tests, where consumers tasted various cuts and the cooking methods. So I know the science is serious and it's proven against our customers' expectations. Tenderness itself is a trait that's impacted on by multiple factors. As producers, you'll have been told at some time or other about the impact that stress will have on your animals before slaughter. So you'll be thinking about how you handle your animals, how you transport them and dispatch them. Tenderness is also impacted on by growth rate and the age of animals at slaughter. So I know you will be used to thinking about keeping your animals growing, how you avoid setbacks, as well as considering the genetics you should be choosing to encourage extra growth and to get your animals to the right age for slaughter. The genetics that you choose, as well as the breed you choose, will have an impact. So too, the processing methods and the age that carcasses are chilled for prior to retail. So in many ways, anyone would think that tenderness is really the result only of the producer and the processor. Well, I guess 80 or 90% of that might be true. As a producer, you work hard for a long time, up to two and a half years, from the choice of the bull that you use through to seeing your results in the retail sector. So you do have a big influence. But there is the consumer factor, or rather, the cooking factor. Not all red meat can be cooked as steaks on a barbecue. How you choose to cook your steak or your red beef is the final determinant for tenderness. And this is the key lesson for MSA. I think about it a lot when I'm telling people what steak they should buy. You can't just tell them what to buy. You need to tell them how to cook it. Pan frying or barbecues are best suited to cuts of beef such as fillet, or the tenderloin, eye fillet, scotch fillet, some people call it, the sirloin or the porterhouse, T-bone steaks. They're all great choices cooking on a barbecue or on fry pan. You can think about cuts such as the rump or the round. I sometimes look at oyster blade and even beef spare ribs if you're feeling a bit creative. The other cuts, like topside or silverside, don't suit barbecues at all. These cuts use beef that have a lot more connective tissue in the muscle, so it tends to toughen up under the direct heat of a pan or a barbecue. It's much more suitable to slow cook those cuts, roast them, or even think about a casserole rather than a barbecue. So when you're asked what steak is best, find out what the person wants to cook. If it's a barbecue, then you need to get them to use the right cuts, even if they have to spend a little bit more money to get the right product. In the long term, if they only eat steak a few times a week, you want every meal that they have to be perfect. If it is a special occasion, then getting them to use the right steak will be worth the extra effort and they'll remember that occasion because of it. Now, if you're preparing for the field day or the bull sale, don't just go for the cheaper cuts, especially those thin minute steaks. Often they're just silver side or top side, and they've been cut thin, put through a tenderizer, and then sold to you as barbecue options. But they're going to toughen up on a hot plate, and they'll be terrible. Spend a little bit extra, and you'll sell a lot more. And if you have used other cuts, porterhouse or a ribeye, think about how much fat is on the steak. You don't want to see your customers walking away, pulling their meal apart because there's too much fat on their steak. It's not just that they're going to be unhappy, but they're probably going to tell three or four other people what a disappointment it was. And that's what we really want to avoid. So that's it. As a beef producer, remember you've worked hard for a long time to get that steak onto a plate. Remember, tenderness is the number one. And if you can get the person you're advising to use the right cut and cook it the right way, then you can be confident your work hasn't been in vain. More importantly, you'll be confident that they're going to come back and look for steak and red meat as their protein source. The last thing is to offer them some tips to barbecuing the right way. Now, I know everyone thinks they know how to barbecue, but I'm going to offer you a few more hints. So as you can probably hear in the background, I've had the barbecue going and I've got a couple of great steaks on here and I'm going to talk to you about what I've done. First thing, put some olive oil around your meat. Just coat it very lightly. Don't add the oil to the hot plate. Just put it onto your steak, pat it dry before you cook it. The second thing is make sure your barbecue is hot. The meat should sizzle when you put it in. Now the third step, and this is pretty much where we're up to as I cook this steak talking to you, is to cook one side until the first sign of moisture appears on the upper side. When I see that, I turn it over and cook the other side. Don't slide it around the plate and don't prod it or lift it. Trust yourself, step back and just let it cook. Turn it only once for rare or for medium. If you need to do a well done steak, I have to do that a little bit for friends. Turn it a second time. When you see the moisture reappear, take it off then. The important thing is to use some tongs rather than a barbecue fork to turn your meat. This has always worked for me. In fact, it works so well, I always seem to be the person that does the barbecue cooking. If your barbecue's got a hood, leave it up while you're cooking. If you have it down, it turns your barbecue into an oven and it's going to roast your meat rather than barbecue it. When you want to check it's ready, just use your tongs to press the steak. Rare is soft when you press it. Medium is springy but soft, and well done's really firm. When you take it off, cover it loosely and let it rest for a few minutes before serving. You should really let it rest for about half the time you spent cooking it. So if it took you 10 minutes, let it rest for 5. I was told by someone else that if you're going to let it rest, have a glass of wine or a stubby beer, talk to your guests, and then serve it. Now, a couple of other things. The beef cuts you use should be a minimum of about 21 mils, about 2 centimetres thick. If you've got marinated meat, treat it a little bit differently. Don't pour your marinade over the meat while it's cooking because it'll make the meat stew and it'll cause flare-ups. Don't put too much on your hot plate because that will reduce the heat and the meat will then start to release a lot of juices and it'll stew again, and you don't want that to happen. Now, if you're wondering about an option for a barbecue or what I've actually done tonight, here's a recipe that I've just put together. We have some eye fillet steaks here, and they're quite thick. They're about 25 millimetres thick, so about 2.5 centimetres. If you're using a whole eye fillet and you're cutting your own steaks, that's excellent, but just take that selvage fat, that little silver fat off the bottom, because it will tighten up on the barbecue and it'll change the shape of your steaks. Lightly brush the steaks with a bit of olive oil and then grind some salt and pepper over them on all the sides. Cover them up and let them sit at room temperature for a little while. I tend to go out and light the barbecue and let it get hot while I'm doing that. When it's hot, place the steaks on, let them cook one side until you see the moisture and turn them over. When they're done according to your taste, mine are just about ready to come off and have a rest, put them on a plate with some foil over them somewhere warm. Steaks like this could be perfect with a garden salad or a Greek salad with some feta and olives, a little bit of balsamic oil dressing on the olives. Tonight, we've got some roasted corn with a little bit of salt and pepper and a little bit of oil, and that'll go perfectly with a salad. If you've heard a bit of popping, that's the corn that I've been roasting just alongside the steak. And while you can't smell it, trust me, it looks pretty amazing. So if you're going to try it, let me know how it goes. You can get in touch with me through my website. Remember, it's all the W's, reinerag.com.au. Or if you'd like, you can contact me on Twitter at alreiner302 or through the Reiner Ag Facebook page. Don't forget to like the page while you're there. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your steak, and I'll catch you next time.